We're going to continue our doing messages all the way through Easter, looking at the gospel text from the lectionary. So if you remember those who were here last week, it was a rather long reading, and I even kind of shortened it so that we could not have to spend half an hour reading it. The same thing is going to be true this time around. It's a pretty long reading, so we're not going to have the second reading. This one you're going to be very familiar with, much like the last one. This one is the story of Lazarus. We're going to enter in as the story is being told. This comes from the Gospel of John, reading from chapter 11. We're just going to do verses 21 through 45, and it's from the New Revised Standard Version, the updated edition of that. So, I'm going to let you settle in, and we'll have a little story time together. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he'll rise in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." And when she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place that Martha had met him. And the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. And they followed her because they thought that she was going to go to the tomb to weep there. And when Mary came where Jesus was, and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in the spirit and moved deeply. He said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But then some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again, greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. And it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there's a stench because it's been 4 days since he's dead." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe it is you who sent them." And when he had said this, he cried in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and his feet bound with strips of cloth, his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. Can we get you to do another song, Dave?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
I'm going to play "Oh Happy Day."
Oh, okay. Thank you. Columns. We really appreciate it. My message this morning is entitled Unbinding Each Other. So there is something about the story that we just shared that has always gotten under my skin just a little bit. It's not the miracle. It's not even the whole 4 days dead thing. It's that delay. Jesus hears that his friend was sick and just stays where he is for, you know, a couple more days. And I don't know about you, but that part feels a little too familiar in my life right now. Because a lot of us are in an odd season of waiting. Waiting for things to settle down, waiting for some kind of clarity, waiting for something broken maybe to finally shift into place. And in the middle of all of that waiting, there is this question that starts to show up, sometimes quietly, and sometimes not so quietly. Where is God in all of this? You see, by the time that Jesus gets there, Lazarus is gone, not hanging on, not maybe he'll pull through, he's gone. The community has, you know, already started doing what communities do. They've shown up. They've cried. They probably brought food. They've sat in silence. They've started to accept that this is how this part of the story ends. And that's sort of what makes this moment so powerful. Because this is not a story about stopping something from dying. This is a story about what happens after everyone has already decided that it's over. See, Martha meets Jesus on the road and she doesn't hold back. If you had been here. Now you can hear pretty much everything in that statement right there. If you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. If you had been here, if you had shown up sooner, this could have gone differently. I mean, it's grief, it's frustration, it's faith that's still there, but not a faith that's pretending that everything's fine. And Jesus doesn't even argue with her, but he just stays with her. Then they go to the tomb. They go to the tomb, and Jesus says something that feels, honestly, a little unreasonable, at least to the people that were there. He says, take away that stone. And Martha... Now, Martha says what most of us would probably say. Let's not do that. Been 4 days. Not going to be good. It's going to be bad. In other words, this is real. This is final. This has already gone too far. Just by a show of hands. And you don't have to explain anything here. I'm not going to ask you to turn and talk to anyone. Not yet. How many of you have something in your life or in the world right now that feels a little bit like that? Something that feels stuck, something that feels like it's gone too far, something that makes you wonder if it can really ever change. Okay, that's a lot of hands. And yeah, as the young folks would say, that tracks. Just real. Because we're living in a time where a lot of things feel sort of sealed up tight, not just in our personal lives, There are systems that feel like they don't budge anymore. There are divides that feel like they're only getting deeper in this world. Stories about who belongs and who doesn't, they just keep getting repeated over and over again. If we're not careful, we start to believe those stories that are being told. We start to think that the stone isn't just heavy, but that the stone is permanent. And Jesus stands in front of that tomb, those metaphorical tombs, and says, take the stone away. And here is what's interesting. He doesn't move the stone himself. He looks at the people standing there. And he says, you do it. Take that stone away. You move the stone. You be a part of opening things back up. You know, liberation theology has been saying that exact thing for a very long time. That love doesn't sort of skip over us. It works through us. Which means resurrection isn't something that we just, you know, sit back and watch. It's something that we have to actively step into and participate in. Then Jesus calls out, Lazarus, come out. And somehow, he does. He walks out of the tomb. Alive. Here's the thing, though. Alive, but still all wrapped up. Still bound. Still carrying all that stuff that had been used to bury. And Jesus turns back to the community and says, unbind him. Unbind him. Because coming back to life, well, that's one thing. But being free, that's another. We spent so much time in church with the larger church, arguing about whether resurrection is believable. We've spent so much time doing it. In my opinion, we've spent so much time doing it that we have missed what is actually there, what it really shows us. It shows us that what we think is the end is not always the end. It shows us that love doesn't just accept the story as it's been written. Love pushes back. You've heard me speak a lot of queer theology, and it names this in a way that I think we really need to hear, because the world has a habit of deciding ahead of time who is in and who is out, who is acceptable and who is too much, who is flexible and who is too far gone. And once those labels get put onto people, it's like a stone gets rolled into place. Story over. You're defined. But again and again, the people who've been pushed to the edges, the ones that the world has written off, they're the ones, the very ones, who tend to show us what new life actually looks like. Not because they got fixed, but because they were never broken to begin with. That's the message of queer theology that it names for us here in relation to the story. And Lazarus stands there as this powerful image, alive but still wrapped in what they tried to bury him in. I am now going to invite you to turn to someone near you, one or two people just for a minute. And if you're comfortable, share this. What is something that you've had to let go of or unlearn to become more fully yourself? Or, if that's not the right question for you, how about something like, what's something you're still trying to unwrap from your life? All right, we're going to take a couple of minutes and share with each other one of those two things. So I'll time you up here, and I'll give you a warning, and we're about ready to come back.
Thank you.
So we've been hearing from each other stories of things that we had to let go of, unlearn, things that we might need to still further unwrap in our lives. And if we're honest with ourselves and with each other, a lot of us have come out of the tune in some way. We've just shared some of those stories. We've made it through things that we didn't think we'd survive. We've stepped into new ways of living or believing or even understanding our own selves. We're here. We're alive. We persist. But if we're honest, we are still carrying some of those grave clothes. Still wrapped up in part in old messages, still tied up in fears, still holding on to things that don't give life anymore, but they do feel familiar enough to keep them around for a little bit. And the work of resurrection, it doesn't stop. It just doesn't stop when we step out of our tombs. It keeps going and requires some unbinding. And this isn't just about us as individuals either. There are people in this world who can't just unwrap themselves. Not because they're lacking anything, but because the systems that surround them are still doing the binding. And that's where community. That's where community comes in. You see, we help each other get free. In community, we help each other get free. That's the part that Jesus actually commands when you read the story. Not figure this out, not argue about this, not believe the right thing about that. He says, unbind him. Unbind him. Be part of freedom. So maybe the question for us today isn't, do we believe the story happened? Maybe the better question is, where are we being invited into this story? Where are we being invited to loosen something that's being tied too tight around somebody? Where are we being invited to help someone else breathe a little more easily? Where are we being invited to believe that what looks finished might not be yet? Because if this story is telling us anything, it's that the ending is not always what we think it is. Not for Lazarus, not for you, not for this world. See, love is still calling, still standing at the edge of what we may have given up on, still refusing to accept that death or fear or division gets the last word. Come out. And maybe that's the wildest part of all, is that we're not just hearing that call. We're told to be a part of making that happen. If we can do that, we begin to understand the story, and we begin to understand what love really looks like in this world. Amen.
Okay. I'm going to say love lifted me, and this kind of reminds me of that because it was actually, every time I've had problems where I was, where I thought something was ending and kind of turned around a little bit, it was always being kind of seeking God and seeking His love, but then realizing that I had to have that kid be me and have His love come through me and change the way I was looking at whatever circumstance it was. So this kind of seems really fitting for this hymn, for that sermon, which is funny because I didn't know the last sermon was about me. So this is love lifted me.
And I agree. I fit the reason well. It's almost like we planned it. Let's take a moment. We'll enter into a time of prayer, meditation, or just to kind of breathe in, breathe out, grab hold of the words you might need from this moment. Let's bow our heads together. We come carrying things we were never meant to carry. Layers wrapped around us by fear, by shame, by stories told so often they start to sound like the truth. We've learned how to walk while bound, how to breathe while restricted, how to call survival living. And still, something in us knows there is more. May we be moved to notice the places where we have accepted endings that were never ours to accept. The tombs we walked away from, the stones that we stopped trying to move, the voices we believed that told us that's just how it works. May we be reminded that love does not stop at what we call finished. That love lingers at the edge of sealed places. That love calls into spaces we avoid, into grief we carry, into lives we've been told are too much, too different, too far gone. And when that call comes, may we have the courage to step out. Even if we are still wrapped, even if we are unsure, even if freedom feels unfamiliar. And more than that, may we become a community that unbinds, quick to loosen what constricts, quick to release what suffocates, quick to remind one another, you were never meant to live like this. For those among us still caught in systems that tighten their grip, may we not look away. May we not call it normal. May we not call it order. May we become people who roll away stones and refuse to let one another stay buried. Because love is still calling, still stirring, still refusing to accept that death, despair, and division get the last word. May we hear it. May we trust it. May we live it. Amen. And may you walk in harmony with each other and creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may you share that love and happiness with all of those you meet. David, do you have one more for us?
Absolutely. Thank you. This is O Worship the King. Thank you.